Welcome to Podcast Ed, the podcast of reimaginedonline.org, sparking the evolution of education choice. In this episode, Reimagined senior writer Lisa Bowie speaks with Simone Arnold of South Florida about her son Aiden, his diagnosis on the autism spectrum, and how the Family Empowerment Scholarship for Students with Unique Abilities is changing his life.
Today, I have with me Simone Arnold from Margate down in South Florida. She is mom to a wonderful son named Aiden. And just tell me about your little scholar. How old is he? What's his favorite subject? And where does he go to school?
Awesome. So it's so great to be here, Lisa. Thank you for having me. Aiden is a bouncy, energetic 8-year-old. He attends Phil's Prep Academy in Margate. I'm actually in Fort Lauderdale, but vicinity, generally speaking. Aiden loves spelling and mathematics. We're grateful to just be able to see the progress that he's made after we've invested and supported and really just had a cohort of greater support over the last few years. So this is his journey. I can smile almost in my voice now, but there have been many nights and days of long tears because we didn't expect that we would be here so quickly. I love the fact that, you know, with his bouncy and energetic self, he's just really able to show that he's willing to learn and grow. And I'm happy that we have our family support and some other, you know, key stakeholders that have been instrumental in making that happen.
I understand Aiden receives the Family Empowerment Scholarship for Unique Abilities. It's formerly known as the Gardner Scholarship. Tell me how your education choice journey began.
It was rough, but I'm glad that we paid attention to certain signs. We noticed maybe one key sign was that Aiden, approaching age one, he would do a lot of pointing to items as opposed to making an attempt to at least say a word. And then it was he would only say auntie, which was strange. My sister and I are very close. She found fancy in that because she, you know, took care of him for a brief while when he was born to help out. I'd had some postpartum issues and required me to be hospitalized for 4 days. So they grew a bond. So we thought that was really neat. He was just saying auntie, not mama, not dada. But besides that, as he continued to develop and we would read to him, he has 2 older siblings, and they would interact with him, but we noticed that the interaction was different than I had had with my 2 older daughters. The pointing to items continued perhaps until maybe age 1.5, perhaps almost 2. And we thought that that would create a further disadvantage for him. So we started to inquire, and I just asked around at the school, you know, what resources were available, how could we help? He had already started Open Bible Preschool, which was a nearby preschool. All of our kids within, you know, the family had attended there. So it was important for us to, for him to also kind of have that in his story to tell that they've all grown up and learned at the same Christian school and had that Christian foundation. But the teachers would also give me feedback that he would understand and he would be nodding, but it was very nonverbal. They also shared the difficulty of him withholding a crayon. So I realized that, you know, there were some motor skill challenges, but predominantly it was the speech delay that caused us concern. And so we got involved, you know, from the school. They had shared some information about the Early Steps program, a program that's offered, you know, within my state, within Florida and within, you know, the local counties. And we just got engaged, very curious as parents, and I wanted to just well position him for the best version of himself. And so that's really how it started. We got tied into Early Steps. They sent someone who worked out of our home, so she would visit 3 times a week and play with him, interact with him, color, shapes, sounds. She used music. We just really would sit with that leader, I call her a leader, and she was so instrumental, but we would sit beside her and try to understand what are some of the challenges. She would give us homework as parents, and we were happy to do that, because the next time she came by, she would say, okay, where did Aiden develop? And then we almost got like a scorecard too, right? The things that we were practicing and doing better. And we just wanted to be a part of him growing and learning, as I mentioned. So that's his beginning journey. You know, early steps was really something that worked for us, because we didn't have to go outside of the home. It was right here. And then we were just interacting with all these resources and leaders to just really continue to guide us through the process.
When was Aiden first diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder? Was early steps before his diagnosis, or did that happen as a result of his diagnosis?
It's kind of quirky. And for any mom, dad, guardian that's listening, I wish it were so clear cut that we knew that he was on the autism spectrum at that time. So now we're talking about between age 2 and 3. But I can tell you, it was not diagnosed at that time. What we learned at about age 3, as he kind of graduated out of the early steps program, we needed to now inquire on our own as parents, other resources within our community, within our insurance as a service provider, what would be offered. The early steps program only covers you until age 3, and then you have to kind of navigate, you know, the process a little bit differently. So at that time, we were working with the understanding that he really had an intellectual disability. So he was, to kind of get into the weeds of the terms, 2 quantitative levels below his age. So if he should have been saying and doing things as a normal 2-year-old, he was 2 years, almost 2 years or 2 levels behind what his peers would be doing. So it would be very difficult for him if we left things the same way, because then he would be feeling the challenges of not being able to kind of catch on in a large, you know, size classroom and things of that nature. We investigated, and it was painful. I've spoken to so many parents on their journeys as well, and we are not alone. I am so glad we were not alone, but it's sad that so many of us struggle through that interim and trying to figure out what the solution. At first, we couldn't figure out the right codes, and these were the institutions that we were working, right? So we found a speech therapist and an occupational therapist, and the first conversation with the owner took 2 hours by phone, followed by a period of just my husband and I trying to understand. It seemed like everything was wrong with our child. And then I had to reframe that in my mind as a mom. No, this is not stuff that's wrong. This is just what's unique about him. And so we had to figure out a way to just meet him at his place of need. And I am so lucky, we were lucky, that the owner of that organization, Every Person Develops Incorporated in Fort Lauderdale, she was persistent. She felt that she can really help Aiden. And you know, her persistence was, come on in, let me show you what my facility is like. Let me help you understand not just the, you know, the medical terms, because I don't know, I felt overwhelmed as a mom. I felt overwhelmed for the process. So I couldn't imagine what Aiden would have to go through. So we were all operating under the, you know, the understanding and the diagnosis of intellectual disability. And then we knew it was a little bit more than that after we consulted with Dr. Pichetti D'Amato, who is the owner and for that organization that I mentioned. And the first visit, we also understood that maybe we would have some initial challenges with going through the insurance and trying to figure that out. So once again, I knew that I, you know, and I'm saying it's got to be an easier way. It's got to be a better way. So we paid out of pocket, and we did that for perhaps a year and a half, going through intense therapy sessions to help Aiden with things like dysgraphia, dyspraxia, development delays, his speech, his movement, his motor skills. He couldn't even feed himself because he couldn't hold a spoon, couldn't hold a crayon at school. So he would feel excluded rather than included in this environment that wanted him to be invited, wanted him to feel a part of. He had challenges with getting up to the same peer level with potty training. So we realized that more work needed to be done. We needed to be aggressive. We needed to help him. And the therapy really worked because we had a schedule. And so we worked with Every Person Develops Incorporated for the period of 4.5 years before we got the autism spectrum disorder. So I don't know, Lisa, how many moms and dads and grandmas and aunts and uncles are listening, but that's a long time. It's a long, painful time to not have the right diagnosis. And we were fortunate by the prompt of the then Gardner Scholarship, because before the students hit age 6 or 7, there's an evaluation that's done. And that's through that exercise and working with a psychologist and her doing the assessment, that's where we landed on the autism spectrum. Imagine if we had known that earlier.
What school did Aiden start in? Did you try a district school first or homeschool him or go straight to Phil's?
We went to Phil's. I had studied the benefits, the pros of a smaller class size type institution for a long time. And given the fact that we knew of the successes of Phil's Academy, we had heard that within our community, we wanted to go in, take a visit, and share Aiden's story. We took Aiden along with us, had him meet the teacher and the director, and we saw the classes. And so it was really just probing and asking questions. There was a elementary school, or there is an elementary school that's maybe 2 minutes drive from my home. We did the same exercise at that school. And what I learned was, and what I saw right before my eyes was the painful, just the painful digestion of the class sizes would be twice as large. The teachers would not have maybe an aide or an assistant in the classroom. So we're talking about classroom sizes that are 24 or 25 students per teacher, as opposed to where he is 10 or 11, maybe 14 maximum. And so that was the first thing. The second thing was, how would they meet and challenge Aiden at his greatest need? How can they help him with his speech and further his challenges with his occupational therapy? And so when we asked those direct questions of the director, those were some of the things that we learned, that Phil's had a dedicated personnel, so a staff member trained in ESE, the Education for Special Education Leader. And with that, we were able to meet with her, share Aiden's story, also provide documentation prepared by his, speech and occupational therapist. It had a clear path of, here are the things that we thought were initial challenges. Here was the quick range of where he was succeeding. We understood that he really liked, being engaged when music was involved. We understood that he liked things that he can memorize, so spelling words and the math, he would get that really easily. So starting Phil's at kindergarten was a blessing, and having those small classroom sizes and the ability to converse with teachers almost on a very regular basis through email, through Zoom chats, or in person. Because that was just before the pandemic, became an onslaught on all of us as parents and guardians. So it was really knowing that I would have that greater partnership and the smaller classroom sizes so his voice could be heard and that he wouldn't be lost in a large, you know, group of other students competing for the teacher's attention for their growth.
When did you find out about and how did you find out about the scholarship program?
So the scholarship program came about with conversations that I was having. I think it was just during my plight of, we were already paying out of pocket for his therapy until the insurance, the medical billing aspects of things had been worked out. I had remember picking up the phone and just calling the advocacy line and, you know, as a mom, and I feel that that's it. That's my role, is to be Aiden's advocate. And I'm fighting not only for my Aiden, but for all the Aidens, all the Lucases, all the Logans, all the Chase, right? All the little boys and girls that are struggling with these types of unique abilities. I knew that I had to have some financial relief. I had worked with other parents who were struggling, and we compared notes on what insurance do you have, what insurance we thought were the best. So it was just really constantly on a prowl of what's out there. And so I think it was from one of the conversations I was having with the therapist, and I said, this is just killing us. I mean, sessions are not cheap. They're not affordable. We would sacrifice and put, you know, Aiden's treatment to the top of the list, which meant that some other things for the family couldn't be done. And we were okay with that. But we knew that long term that that wouldn't be the best plan for him nor for us. And just from one of the casual conversations is you got to have things that are available. I understood and I gained more, you know, insights on things like McKay, the McKay Scholarship, and Gardner. And they had some pamphlets available at the therapist. And so I read it and I became frustrated because it would be a whole nother process that I had to get started. And the McKay, at that time, you had to have your child in public school for a year before, you know, you can complete the assessment evaluation and then be eligible to put your child into private. We had already made the decision to get him into private. So I said I needed to have the support system through a scholarship or, you know, through some type of funding that would embrace that approach. And that's where Gardner and now the Family Empowerment Scholarship really worked for us from the beginning. We applied, we worked in partnership with our pediatrician and the therapists to provide the documentation, filled out the application. We received, you know, the adequate funding for him. So Aiden is now in his fourth year of receiving the Florida Empowerment Scholarship, previously known as the Gardner.
And do you use the scholarship just for tuition, or are you able to use it for any of his therapies?
Yes. So when we use them for therapies, the beauty of the scholarship, for those who may not be aware, you have an abundance of support. It's almost as if, you know, for anyone who feels so inclined from a, you know, a divine, you almost feel like you have additional kind of angels just walking beside you in this process, because it does get so overwhelming. If you need hypnotherapy, music therapy, lessons, you know, maybe tutoring, that's also available. The one thing that we took the great advantage of was the therapy, because as I mentioned, Aiden needed both the speech and occupational therapies. And so for the occupational therapy for Aiden, he thought it was just playing, when in fact they were helping him with his balance, with his posture, with developing his upper body strength, even something like the fine motor skills. And they would make recordings for us and shared out with us when he would go for his weekly intensives. So we saw the progress, and that was one of the things that just really allowed us to just maintain that schedule. Another unique feature with the Florida Empowerment Scholarship, I was able to get him his technical gadgets. So he has access to a tablet that he's able to, you know, to sign on to programs that we feel are engaging and interactive for his age group and his peer level. So he's able to get on different games that do math problems. He's constantly walking around the house. 4 + 4 = 8 and 4 + 4 are doubles, and he'll do multiplication. So I feel that he's constantly being challenged, and he celebrates that out loud. So we do the high five around the house, or we'll say, great job, you know, even if he's in the back and we're in the living room and separated physically, we're all kind of celebrating and doing the high five. So that's another good benefit of the scholarship, is that you can, you know, purchase with approval, you can do some documentation, the technical gadget that will help to really have them be more creative, innovative, and then, you know, maybe challenge, but then it's a little bit of fun time as well. He really likes his tablet, Lisa, I must say, and who doesn't?
Aside from, you mentioned the small class sizes, what else sets Phil's apart? How has Phil's helped him to thrive academically and socially?
Aiden loves the interaction with his classmates, and I think he's able to see his peers' strengths in his own strengths. And by that, I mean, when they're doing the activities in class, because it is such a small class size, he's able to stand out and he's able to celebrate where the other classmates are also doing well. So by that, he comes home and he'll say, oh, mom, so-and-so got a 95 on their spelling test. And so I'll say, well, how much did Aiden Arnold get on his spelling test? And he'll say, and I'll say, uh-oh, do we have to worry? And he said, no, you don't have to worry. I got 100. I got 100. So he's constantly interacting. And I think because there's the students, they're sitting, they're eating, they're engaging, they're playing, they're learning Spanish. They have the opportunity where they're being, he's able to be invited out of class, rather than pulled out of class, but invited out of class and have the one-on-one journey with his ESE monitor and coordinator. It helps him. And otherwise, she can just really come into that class, also see what things he may not verbalize that he's struggling with. She'll be able to see that. I mean, I don't know, to be honest with you, if that's offered elsewhere, because we've navigated to Phil's primarily, right, because of that small classroom size. But it's also just the love and that Christian foundation that we were seeking as a continuation from where he started from Opal Bible Preschool. Phil's offers that. And Aiden loves that. He loves the devotional time. He loves the time of learning about social studies. He learns the time about interacting and, you know, the kind of that building that social contract with his peers. And I think really having that smaller environment, more intimate setting, allows him to do so. So I'm hoping that parents who, you know, think about, you know, where your child may be or where they will end up, do that investigation, you know, go to the schools, walk around, ask the questions. That's what we did. You know, if you can even ask them if you can be at the school or virtually log in to see how the teachers interact with the students, how they call on them, how the students react and respond. And Aiden just loved it from day one. His teacher would call his name and she would support him with getting his work completed. And Aiden struggles with transition. So one of the key things that we had to work with the teacher when he was moving up from kindergarten to first grade, it was almost, I needed to know who's going to be the first grade teacher. What, you know, characteristics, what skill sets did she have? I had to help her understand what Aiden was like. But of course, you know, word gets around at school and teachers already kind of have an idea of how the children not just behave, how they perform in classes, and they look at their personalities and things like that. So he's very quiet, almost shy. But once you get to know him, that bouncy, energetic self comes out. And that's exactly what happened. Even after he transitioned, he was quiet for the first couple of weeks, being a little delayed in raising his hand. He wanted to understand the teacher's tone. And as soon as he became more comfortable, he would go up to her and he would say, I finished my work, Miss Ms. Dowse, and do you want me to do anything else? So in that personal setting, he developed a bond with his teacher, almost connecting with her, and she was able to meet him at his place of need, communicate with him in a way that would be encouraging, instilling what everyone else in the classroom needed to be at. And he already, you know, he picked up on, hey, I need to be competitive. I need to follow the process. So these are all the qualities that I think that Phils just do really extremely well as an academic institution. I think that that's what allows Aiden and the other students to just thrive.
Overall, what does the scholarship mean to you? And what would it have been like if you didn't have it?
The scholarship is a lifesaver. It taught us as parents that we were doing the right things, but there was no need for us to do it alone. We didn't have to do it alone, that we didn't have to not just understand, you know, the literature and the science and the medical aspect, because that alone is overwhelming. Just the medical terms, and you're speaking with the expert. You know, I said before, it felt like so much was wrong, like so much work needed to be done. I can't imagine the parents that would probably even dismiss it because they feel like it's a stigma to have your child be diagnosed. I've spoken with some other parents and they like, I'm not going to have my child labeled. And I'm like, well, I'm going to have my child be the best that he can be. And that means that I have work, right? So the unique abilities has given us that platform to be not just to grow beside him, we're growing beside the expert, so much so that our eldest child, she just completed her master's degree. She's board certified as a music therapist. And she just received a job offer and she'll be working with children of special needs, unique abilities, because she realizes the impact and the influence that she can have on, Aiden and all the other Aidens. And so that's just like, to me, it's a miracle. It's a blessing that we've been able to just turn Aiden's story into an amazing journey for another member of our family, being my daughter. And so we're all going to kind of continue to be able to be exposed willingly, right, to the things that will help them to be better. That's the greatest thing. I think it's just a blessing because the program really thinks about parents. It's almost as if they've walked in our shoes with understanding what we really need. We need support at every level financially. We need to have the option through the scholarship to put our children where we have choice. This is all about choice. It provides us with the support mechanism that, you know, we have a variety of, tools and approaches that we can leverage. We have a support system by just calling Gardner or Florida Empowerment a scholarship and almost cry with the folks on the phone. I've had to do that. During the pandemic, it was not easy. And it was the same time that I was being asked to evaluate him. I mean, you have deadlines. Deadlines don't seem to be the right things to have when you're in a pandemic, especially when we're in the first year. No one really knew how it was going to be when you couldn't find a psychologist that was working in an office when everything was shut down. So it was very, very, it seemed dark. It felt scary that we were really alone and we were not going to have this evaluation, which meant if you can't keep up with the schedule, you're losing funding every day. And if you lose funding, then it puts you back into a situation where you are. How do you reshuffle things, you know, internally at your home to get it? And how do you pivot from having funding the year before where you had a really intense schedule with his speech therapy and occupational therapy and school and the ability to purchase things like his tablet, to going from that to almost nothing because you can't find a psychologist in the pandemic who's working out of an office. Luckily for us, we found it, but I'll tell you, if anything anyone takes away from this, please don't feel that you're going through alone. I hope Aiden's story is a reminder that you ask for help I've asked for help. Sometimes I'm crying and I don't even realize that I'm actually crying and not using words, and people will step up. Family members will step up. Friends will step up. I use it and I talk a lot about Aiden's story. I'll post it on my professional LinkedIn page and I'm seeing his progress. I'll blog about it. So individuals who are experts or more seasoned will offer to help and I'm happy to take it. Aiden is, we're leveraging from those key resources, so it really works out.
What's your blog address in case anybody wants to see Aiden's story?
Absolutely. So I blogged actually for the University of Phoenix. So with that, I think they would need a special ID. But on my my business page, so I'm a founder of an organization called Motivate, M-O-T-I-V-E-I-G-H-T, Motivate, because I believe that in any of our life's lessons, no matter how challenging they are, that we can still have triumph over the adversity. And we should be inspiring others through that. And maybe it'll help them to navigate the waters a little bit sooner and to help them right through those challenges. So on my website, it is www.motiveight.com, and you'll find some blogs there, or you'll find me on LinkedIn. I think it's really just the story that you see in Aiden himself and the joy that he has. Just as long as he continues to be bouncy, energetic, and just progressing, I think that we've made the best sacrifice, and I would encourage every single parent to do all that you can. Do all that you can, mom and dads and grandmas and grandpas and aunties and uncles, because that's it. And these beautiful children are not just, they're beyond worth it. They're beyond worth it.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that Aiden is doing well. And I want to thank you for coming on and sharing your family story with us.
Thank you so much for having us. I look forward to just really continue to be connected. Just maybe, you know, I love reading other stories as well. So hopefully Aiden's story is encouraging. We'll continue to track and to just really share. But I think most of all, we're continuing to listen as parents, so that we can help him be at that best. And he deserves that.